Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Chof Hei. We're going to begin on the very bottom of Chof Dalet Amud Beis with the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas, a very special person in my life, my aunt, Berta Glad, Bluma Sheva Bas Yecheskel, Alea Shalom. Today's her 15th yard site, Aleph Adar. She died in a Pashut year, so it was Aleph Adar, not Adar Rishon, but interesting machlokas as to when you should commemorate yard sites. The Machabe says to do it in the second month. The Ramah says ideally in the first month, possibly both months. And we're commemorating her yard site today. She was a very special person who lived with us for many years and unfortunately never married. And we were like children to her. And she was like four grandparents to us. We never knew our grandparents. They were killed by Hitler, Yimach Shemo, Zichro, and the Nazis, although one of them died actually before the war. But my Aunt Berta was a very special person in my life. I want to recognize that and learn today Lili Nishmasa. She was a wonderful, kind person. So the Mishnah begins, Chav Dalet Amud Beis, two lines at the bottom, Ein Karin. Now there's a machlokas as to what we're talking about here, that you don't rip Kriya. According to some, this is talking about on Chol HaMoed, that you don't rip Kriya on Chol HaMoed. Others say that it's talking about people other than the mourners, and it's talking about on a regular weekday, not on Chol HaMoed, because on Chol HaMoed you don't rip Kriya, according to that opinion. So we'll just learn it nice and simple that it's talking about Chol HaMoed. So on Chol HaMoed, the only people that rip Kriya are the immediate family. As opposed to other times, it's allowed for somebody who feels very close to one of the Zayin Krovim, or to a Rebbe, that you can rip Kriya and do the other acts of mourning on the behalf. The only act of mourning that you can never take upon yourself to do is not to learn Torah. A person can't accept upon himself not to learn Torah, to accept Avelus upon themselves. If they wish to, they can do all the other aspects of Avelus, but they can't accept upon themselves not to learn Torah. Now, so the Mishnah tells us, again, we'll learn it nice and simple, so about Chol HaMoed, Ein Karin, you don't rip Kriya, Lo Cholzin, you don't bare your shoulders. We don't do this today, but we talked about the bearing of the right shoulder, the left shoulder, possibly both shoulders, so you don't do this Cholzin, and Ein Mavrin, you don't have the Sudas Havara, that's the first meal is supplied by other people. They used to either have it in the Rechava, in the open area. Today we have it in the person's house, but the food is supplied by the friends or the shul, and all of these ideas, Ein Karin, Lo Cholzin, Ein Mavrin, only on Chol HaMoed are allowed to be done by the Krov of Shalmeis, El Krov of Shalmeis. That's the simple understanding that it's from Chol HaMoed. If it's talking about the rest of the year, it means that you don't do these things on Chol HaMoed at all, and the rest of the year, only the people that are the mourners should be doing these activities. And then the Mishnah concludes, it says, Ein Mavrim El Almito Zekufa. The Girsa in others, and you can see this in the Ksivi Rashi, is El Amito Sukufos. This is talking about everybody. So it's possibly even the mourner doesn't sit on a low chair or on the ground. He's also allowed to sit on a Mito Zukufa. Others say that referring to the rest of the people, they obviously don't sit on a low ground, but the mourner still does. Now we turn to Chafei Amud Aleph. Gemara questions this idea that really, on Chol HaMoed, nobody else other than the mourners is allowed to do any of those activities. What about if a Talmud Chacham passes away? Bafilu Chacham, if you tell me a Talmud Chacham passes away, that nobody's allowed to take upon himself these practices on Chol HaMoed, or according to the other opinion, during the rest of the year. Hatanya, we learned in the Gemara in the Braisa, Chacham Shemeis HaKol Krovav, that if a Talmud Chacham passes away, everybody is his relative. More questions that. What do you mean everybody's his relative? HaKol Krovav Sal Kedaitach? Does it make sense to say that everybody is the Chacham's relative? No, it more says El HaKol Kikrovav. It means that everybody is treated like his relatives. In other words, that they're allowed to go and take upon themselves these acts of mourning that normally only the relatives of the Zayin Krovim go and do. And that's what the Brisa says. HaKol Korin Olav, HaKol Cholzin Olav, HaKol Marvin Olav Rechava. That if you wish for a Talmud Chacham, even though you're not his relative, you're allowed to do these things. How can our Mishnah say you're not allowed to do these things? So the Gemara gives the obvious answer. Lo tzricho de lav chachmo. The Mishnah is talking about, it's not a Talmud Chacham, it's about a regular person. Yeah, you're right, a Talmud Chacham you'd be allowed to. But the Mishnah is talking about, it's not a Talmud Chacham. Okay, even if he's not a Talmud Chacham, where it says, no, even if he's just a kosher yid, he's a pashut yid, the Adam kosher, if he's an Adam kosher, you're also allowed to do this. So why does our Mishnah say you can? Because the din is, if it's Adam Kashiru, Chayuve Mechayev Lemikra, you're allowed to, and some say even obligated under certain circumstances, to go and rip Kriya on such a person's death. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Mipnei Ma Bonavu Benosav Shaladim Rachmana Litzlan. Why does a person's sons or a daughter's Mesim Kishim Ketan die when they're young? Rachmana Litzlan. So the Brisa seems to be saying, in order that Kidei Sheiv Kevi Yisavel Al Adam Kashir. So this will teach you that you should go, I mean, it's Abel to mourn a Adam Kosher who passes away. Moore says, really? That doesn't make any sense. Yivkev, Yisabel? Ervona Kosher Kobine? Are we basically saying, well, since you're not going to do this, we're going to force you to do this by teaching you how to be misavel for your own children, Rachmana Litzlan, and we're taking like an erovah, we're taking a collateral, we'll show you, you better go and be misavel later in life in Adam Kasha because we're going to take away your children, Rachmana Litzlan. This doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says, you're right, that's not what it means. Ella, b'meshalo bocha, b'sabel al Adam Kasha. The fact is that you didn't go and be misavel properly on an Adam Kasher, and as a result, the Kosh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you something to mourn about. If you don't want to mourn properly for somebody that passes away, I'll, Rachmona Litzlan, give you something to mourn about, and that will take away your younger children. Rachmona Litzlan. Now, this is obviously not a punishment on the person for his younger children. It's just there are normally protections that would be in place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes because you didn't deserve them. Mida keneged mida. You didn't go and mourn an Adam Kosher, so the protection that you would have gotten from a horrible thing happening to you, which you didn't deserve, that you should be protected from, but the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world is sometimes that you're doing certain things gives you protection, so mida keneged mida. You didn't mourn somebody properly, so the protection against Nebuch, you having to mourn, will be taken away. It's a simplistic understanding of it. These are very deep concepts, and they can never be understood. You can never, Rahman al-Islam, walk over to somebody that suffered a terrible loss or has an illness or something and say, ah, the Gemara says this is because of that. That's not the way we should understand these Gemaras, but their concept, their ideas to teach us a framework of hashkafa. In any event, the Braisa says, further, Shakola Bocha Misavol Adam Kosher Mochilah Kol V'Nasab. If you demonstrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you miss holy people in the world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so okay, that's an act of kapara, and therefore I will give you additional protection, and you'll get a kapara, and therefore Bishul Kavod Shasalo. Since you gave this person kavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a mechila, and therefore you may have deserved to have had a punishment, and that punishment is gone away. Bottom line is, our Mishnah says, seemingly, that you're not allowed to do the Cholzin, the Korin, and the Mavrin, even for an Adam Kosher. But clearly the Braisa says you should, and the Gemara gives the same terrors we gave before, for the Talmud Chacham, the Lav Adam Kosher. The Mishnah is talking about when it's not an Adam Kosher, it's not a Talmud Chacham, and it's not an Adam Kosher. And therefore, this doesn't apply. I would just add, parenthetically, that my Aunt Berta, she was the epitome of an Adam Kosher. She was a wonderful, kind, nice person who only did things for everybody else in the world. In any event, the Gemara says, still, there's another scenario where our Mishnah seems to go against a Beferish Braisa, where the Braisa tells us that if the person is present at the time of the death, you also have to rif kriya. And this is an important halacha l'maisa. If somebody Nebuch is around at the time of a death, even though you're not one of the Zion Krovim, so then you have to rip kriya. Chiyuv v'mechayiv. The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, Rishon Elazar Omer, ha'omed al hameis, b'shas yitzias neshama, chayiv l'kroa. If a person is standing right there at the time that Nebuch, a person passes away, so then you're an obligation to go and rip kriya for that lost soul, for that person who died. Why is that? This is comparable to the following. The Sefer Torah should disrupt. If a person never sees a Sefer Torah that burns, similar to Rabbi Din, if you see a Sefer Torah fall. So if you see a Sefer Torah that is burned, you have an obligation to go and rip Kriya. So therefore, just like in that situation that you have an obligation to rip Kriya by a Sefer Torah that burns, so too, if you're present when the equivalent of a Sefer Torah being burned, when a person's life is taken away from them, and the neshama leaves their body, so you have an obligation to rip kriya. So how can you tell me in the Mishnah that you never are going to rip kriya, lo korin, if it's not one of the Zayin Krovin? We see that there is such a scenario, not only in Talmud Chacham, not only in Adam Kosher, but if you're present at the time of Yitzias Neshama. So the Gemara gives the same teretz that we gave already twice. The lo koi hasa b'shas Yitzias Neshama. The Mishnah is not talking about that. The Mishnah is not talking about a case where it's a Talmud Chacham, not talking about a case where it's an Adam Kosher, and it's not talking about where you are present at the time of Yitzias Neshama. If none of those conditions are present, then the Mishnah tells us that Anchal Amayit, a regular person who's not one of the Zayin Krovim, should be ripping Kriya or Cholzin or taking participation in the Suda Savar. Mara tells us now, when Rav Safra Nebuch passed away, the rabbis did not rip Kriya. Why? They said, Amre, he wasn't our Rebbe. So therefore, we are not ripping Kriya at the loss of this Talmud Chacham. So Amaluhu Rabbi, Abai tells the Talmud Chacham, you didn't learn the Braisa properly. The Braisa didn't say you're Rebbe. The Braisa said, Chacham Shemeis HaKol Krovov. Does it say, Mi Tanya Harav Shemeis? No, Chacham Shemeis Tanya. So therefore, you should rip Kriya over the great Rav Safra's passing away. He was certainly a Talmud Chacham of stature. Furthermore, Va'od, Koyoma, Shemeis HaSei Bepumin, Bevei Medrasha. even your own incorrect understanding that it has to be a Rebbe. So Rav Safra was your Rebbe. A day doesn't go by that you're not learning some member from Rav Safra. He was one of the Gedolei Hadar. And therefore, you may not realize it, but when you're learning in the Beis Medrash, you're saying over his Vertloch, you're saying over his understanding. And therefore, even by your misunderstanding that it's a Rav Shemes and not a Talmud Chacham Shemes, you should rip Kriya. Nope. So they took the Musar. Sovra Mada Hava Hava. But they said, next time we'll know better. But what are we supposed to do now? He already passed away. It's not Shas Chimam, and therefore we can't rip Kriya now. So Abaye says, no, you're wrong in that as well. Amu Abaye, Tanina, we learned in the Braisa, Chacham calls Man Shaoskim Behesbit Chayavim Likroa. While you're still being Masbidim, even though it's not the Shas Chimam, it's not the actual day or time that you're hearing of his death, so it's not Shas Chimam, nevertheless, if the Hesbedim are going on, then you should rip Kriya. You're still allowed to go and rip Kriya for the loss of this Talmud Chacham. Okay, they took it very seriously, and they want to rip Kriya right then and there. Sovel Mikra Lealter. They said, let's rip Kriya right now. You taught us Abaye, and we're going to do it. Abaye says, no, you still didn't learn the din properly. Amu Abaye, Abaye tells these Tamidei Chachamim, you should rip Kriya for Rav Safra during the eulogy. Tanya, Chacham Kvodo Besbedo. The best time to rip Kriya is during the Hesbedim. That's when there is still like a Shas Chimam, and you're talking about the Talmud Chacham, so that's the time that you should rip Kriya. So if they're going to have a Hesbed at 2 o'clock, don't rip Kriya now at 11 o'clock. Wait till 2 o'clock to rip Kriya. Another Maisa Shoya, Kinoch Nafshe the Rav Huna, when Nebuch Rav Huna passed away, Rav Huna was one of the Gedolei Ador, he was the Talmud of Rav, and he was the Gadol Ador of his generation. So Sovril Asuve Sefer Torah Apurye. They wanted to go put a Sefer Torah with his coffin. The Gemara in Bava Kama tells us that they did this to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. When Chizkiyahu HaMelech passed away, so they put a Sefer Torah on him, and they basically said he was Mekayim, everything in this Sefer Torah, so therefore it's appropriate that the Sefer Torah should be put on his coffin. So that's what they wanted to do with Rav Huna. But Rav Huna's Talmud, Rav Chisda, said, Amalu Rav Chisda, Milsa de Bechayei lo Sirulei, Kashta Leikun Lei Le'evid Lei. So they didn't do this in his lifetime. Are you going to do this in his death? It doesn't make any sense. The source of Shas takes out the word lay. So basically, what Rav Chisda was saying is Rav Huna was against this practice while he was alive. So now that he's not alive, you're going to do what he said he shouldn't do? So where do we see this? The Amar Rav Tachlifa. Rav Tachlifa said, Ana chazit el Rav Huna. I myself personally saw that Rav Huna was once, the boy Lemes of Apurya was going to sit down on a bed. Puriya is a bed. But there was a Sefer Torah on the bed, and therefore he wouldn't sit on the bed because there was a Sefer Torah there. So here's the proof. You see that in his lifetime he wouldn't be on the same level as a Sefer Torah. He wouldn't sit on the bed with a Sefer Torah. So in his death, don't put the Sefer Torah next to his coffin, on his coffin, because he didn't do that in his lifetime. So what did he do in that situation? He wanted to sit down. The kof kada, he overturned some sort of a container, a jug, a ara on the ground. The osif sefer Torah lava, and this was obviously a large container. It was appropriate to put the sefer Torah on it. It wasn't a bizarre to the sefer Torah. It was an appropriate thing to put the sefer Torah on, and this way he could go lie down on the bed or sit down on the bed. What do you see from here? Alma, you see, Kasabar, that Rav Huna's opinion was, oscillation of Gabi Mita, you're not allowed to sit on a Mita, Shesefer Torah Munachala, that has a Sefer Torah on it. So you want to do this? He didn't allow this in his lifetime. You're going to do this in his death, so it's inappropriate. Nope. They were now going to bury Rav Huna. He was Nebuch in the house. He had died. He was on a bed. And lo have enough at Puriya Mibaba. And they couldn't get his bed through the door. The bed was too big to get out the door. So what do they want to do? Sovel l'shal shulei derech kagin. They said, okay, we'll take him out through the skylight. We'll raise him up through the skylight and lower him down on the outside, and not because the bed can't fit through the door. So we'll transport his body out that way. So Amalu Rav Chisda, they said, Rav Chisda said to the people that were there, Hogimir Namine, Rav Huna himself was the one that we learned this din from. He said, Chacham kvodo derech pesach. No, it's inappropriate to take the Chacham out through the skylight. You should take him out through the front door. That's the proper covered for a Talmud Chacham. So they said, okay, but the bed doesn't fit, so let's transfer him to another bed. They didn't want to just carry him out. They wanted to put him on a coffin of some sort. They wanted to put him on a bed of some sort. So therefore, Savra la shnuye mi puri la puriya. So he was on a very wide bed. So they said, let's put him on a narrow bed. We'll put him on a cot, and the cot will fit through the door. So again, Rav Chisda said, no, that's not what my Rebbe holds. Amalu Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, Hachi gemir nemine. I learned this from Rav Huna myself. And he said, Chacham kvodo b'mita rishona, that the more covered, the bigger covered is, that if he died on this bed, that's the bed that should be carried out from. You shouldn't transfer him to another bed. So you don't have the option of transferring to a narrower bed and bringing him out the door. And where do we see this from? The Amar Yehuda Amar Rab, Yehuda is the name of Rab. Minayin l'chochob shekvodo b'mita rishonu. Where do we see this idea that it's a bigger covered for him to be carried out on the bed that he was originally lying in, rather than transferring to a smaller bed to be able to carry him out through the door? Shenema, because we have a pasuk over here from Shmuel Beis, which talks about how David took the Arum from Giva to Yerushalayim. And it says that he brought it, Vayir Kivu, Es Aron Ho'elokim. They took the Aron El Agola Chadosha. They put it on a, quote, new Agola, new wagon. What does this mean? Rashi tells us that this means Oso Agola Sheshigru Plishtimba. This was the same Aron that was previously used to transport the Aron. Uba Oso Agola Heviu Dovim Beis Aminadu Lir Dovim. And that was what they used to go and transport this to the Ir Dovim, to Yerushalayim. So that's the source that you see, that you leave it on the original source for carrying it. So too, you leave the Talmud Chacham on the original bed that he was being, Nebuch, he passed away on, so then you don't transfer him to another bed. So the Gemara says, they had no choice, how are they going to get Rafun out of the house? They couldn't bring him out through the skylight, they couldn't bring him out through a smaller bed, so they knocked down the doorway to allow the wider bed to go out. Pros Bava, they broke the doorway, Vafkur, and they took Rafun out in the most Bechavadika way. Now, the said various hespedim on Rav Huna. Pasa halei Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba was mistama, the opening eulogy for Rav Huna. And he said as follows, Roi haya Rabbeinu, it was worthy of our Rebbe, Rav Huna, shetishrish alav shchina. He should be a Navi. That Kosh Baruch Hu should, so to say, have rested his presence upon Rav Huna, el nebuch, el shebavavel garmale. The fact that he lived in Babel, Rav Huna was a Talmud Chacham in Babel, and in Babel there is no Nevuah. So they question this. Moshe Rav Nachman in the Masorah Shas says we should change it around, not Bar Chista, but Bar Rav Chista. So Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista says, others say Vamri Lo was Chanan Bar Chista. It was a different son of Rav Chista. It was Rav Chanan, either one of these two sons of Rav Chista, said as follows. We have a pasuk in Yecheskel which tells us, Hayo, Hayo, Devar Hashem Lo Yecheskel Ben Buzi, Yakon Beretz Kazdim. That Yecheskel Ben Buzi was a Navi in Chutz Laretz, in Eretz Kazdim. So how can you tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't go and bestow, so to say, Nevuah, Shetishra, Elov, Shechina, on somebody just because they're in Chutz Laretz, in Babel? We see that Yecheskel was. So Rav Chista was unhappy that one of his two sons, either Rav Nachman or Rav Chanan, had asked this question. And Tofach Le'avuah B'Sandle, the two different interpretations over here, what he did, he either privately tapped him on his shoe, says, shush, 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 don't ask these questions. Or he gave him a zetz, he gave him a symbolic type of a smack. And he said, Amalei, he said to him, Lav Amin Aloch, Titro Rama, didn't I tell you many times, don't go and ask questions that are just going to bother the people. There's a simple answer to your question. But look at the pasuk. It said, my haya, 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 devar Hashem o Yechesko. What does that mean, haya? Should have just said, haya devar Hashem o Yechesko. What does it mean, haya, haya? So, shahaya kvar, that he was already a Navi in Eretz Yisrael. So once you're already a Navi in Eretz Yisrael, so then you can get Nevuah in Chutz Laretz. But Nevuah won't start in Chutz Laretz, and Rav Huna lived in Chutz Laretz, and that's why that he was Zolcha, in theory, to have Tishra Lo Shechina, but because he was in Babel, that prevented the Shechina from resting upon him in a full way. Ki Askul Askum, so they buried Rav Huna in Eretz Yisrael. Very interesting idea. Rashi brings that over here. They buried him B'davka in Eretz Yisrael. Shekol HaNikbar Shom Nikbar Belo Chet. That somebody who's buried in Eretz Yisrael, his sins are forgiven in some way. Shenemar Ha'ama Yosheba Noso Avon Kidisa B'Ksubos. This is a whole very complicated sugya for the Gemara in Ksubos, and it's a halacha lemaisa, a very interesting discussion that being buried in Eretz Yisrael can give a kapara, as the Masorah Shas Os Yud brings down over here. How do we know this? That you get a kapara. So he brings down v'chibra ad maso amo. So there's a whole discussion: is there a chiyuv? Is there an obligation for a person to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? So there are those that say yes, one should. There are other opinions that say no. You're only coming to Eretz Yisrael to go and be metami the land. You lived your whole life in Chutz Laretz, and now you're coming to be metami the land. And Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, he passes that if you wish to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to, but there's no chiyuv to go and be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Each person should figure out for themselves what's the best. And certainly to live in Eretz Yisrael and then to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, that certainly is the best. In any event, Rav Huna was buried in Eretz Yisrael, so they brought him from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Ki Haskul Asim, when they got to Eretz Yisrael, Amulei L'Ravami L'Ravasi, Ravami L'Ravasi were the Gedolei Hador in Eretz Yisrael. They were first generation of Amorayim, they were Tamidim Rav Yochanan. And they said, Rav Huna Asi, they told them that Rav Huna has come. Now they thought that Rav Huna was alive and had come. Now, they said to each other, Ki Avinu, also when we were in Bavel, they went from themselves living in Bavel to living in Eretz Yisrael. They made Aliyah, and Rav Ami Rav Asi now said, well, we were in Bavel, lo havalon, the daluye reish mine. We couldn't hold our heads up from him. He was so much greater than us, so we, so to say, were subordinate in front of him. Our heads were always bowed to him. As you can see in the Ksiv Yad in Rashi, lo hayalonu haramas rosh mipnei emoso. They were so terrified of him, they didn't lift up their heads. And they thought, Siviyad Rashi says, they thought that he was coming there, and now they would be in a similar situation that they were previously in Bavel. So they said, now that he's come here, also Basrei, we came here, and now he's coming and following us, and now we're going to be subordinate to him again. So Amru, now the Yisrael we have his lay, but it should be Luhu. As the Tamidim told both of them, Ravami and Ravasi, they said, no, Nebuchadnezzar, he's dead. He's not coming here alive. So they immediately went out to greet the Aron, to give him Kovod Achron, Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Nofuk. However, other Rabbanim did not go out. Rav Ila, Rav Chanina, lo Nofuk. They didn't go out. Others say, Iker the Amre, that Rav Ila Nofuk, only Rav Ila went out, but Rav Chanina, lo Nofuk, he didn't go out. So the obvious question is, why wouldn't he go out? They was all giving, all in favor of giving the Kovod to the great Rav Huna. So the Ben Yehuda, in his inimitable fashion, said that the one that stayed behind, either Rabbi Chanina or both Rabbi Eloy and Rabbi Chanina, they didn't want to leave the base of Medrash empty. And therefore, they said, somebody has to stay. Everybody's going out. Somebody has to stay to keep the base of Medrash going. So that's why one of them stayed. In any event, the Nofak, those that went out, what was their reason to give the Kovod Achron, my timer, the Tani, because the Brisa says, Oren over Mimokim Lemokom, Om the Melov Beshura, Om the Melov Birkas Avelim, Vesechum Avelim. When the Oren is passing through to go to its destination, so everybody has to go out and give cover to the Oren. And when it's passing through, you do the shura for the Avelim, and you wish them Nichum, and if there's the appropriate brachos for the Avelim that they used to say, as well as the Tanchumim, the Hamokim and Achim, so then you should go and say it. So those that said that you're obligated to do this, they held from this brisa that you have to go out. So that's why they went out. And the lo nofak, the one that stayed behind, albeit they stayed behind, like the Ben Yehuda said, because they didn't want to leave the base of Medrash empty. Bottom line is, if there's a mitzvah, then you have to leave the base of Medrash empty. Why didn't they go out? Because they held the different brisa. The Tanya, Oren over Malkum Malkum, when the Oren is just passing from one place to another place, but that's not its final destination. So ain't om dimalo b'shura. This brisa says, you don't go do all these mourning practices, such as standing in the shura and letting the Ovel walk between you. And likewise, they don't, and you don't do these other practices as well. So the brises seem to be arguing with each other. Kasha na dodi. You have one brise saying, yes, you do this, and the other says, no, you don't. Shmuel says, lo kasha, it all depends. Kan sheshildo kayemes, kan b'she'ein shildo kayemes. It depends. If the body's intact, then the body's already decayed, the body's already nebuch not intact, so then there's no chiyuv to go out. But if the body's still intact, there's a chiyuv to go out. No, Rav Huna, shildo kayemes haba. Rav Huna just died, so his body was still intact. Also, we know that the great tzaddikim, their bodies don't decompose. So, why didn't they all go out? Because the body was still intact, so the price that it says you don't have to go out, it's only if the body's not intact. Again, Shildo, according to the Ksiv Yad Rashi, he says over here it means the entire body, Shaguf Kayim Adayin. Others say that it only is part of the guf, so we're talking about the vertebral column, the spinal column. In any event, something has to be intact, significant amount has to be intact in order to have the chiv to go out. But that was the case over here, so why didn't everybody go out? So Gemara says, the Lo Nafak, those people didn't go out, either Rav Eloy or Rav Chanina, or just Rav Chanina, they didn't go out, because Lo Saimu Kameh, they weren't aware of this. And they thought that Rav Huna had passed away a while ago, and Mistama, that there was no Shildo Kayemis, and therefore they felt that he didn't have to go back. One last question over here that we have, also from the Ben Yehuda, he says, why were Rav Ami and Rav Asi upset that Rav Huna was going to come? They weren't Balei Gaiva. They weren't arrogant people. Oh, we were the Rosh Hashiva. Now we have somebody greater than us. They would have been the first people to be subordinate to Rav Huna, just like they were in Bava. So why would they be upset that Rav Huna was coming when they thought he was coming alive? So Ben Yehuda again says beautifully, he says, they weren't upset that they were not going to be the Gdolei Adar. They said, we're not going to be able to give the shear now. Somebody else is going to give the shear. They were sad that they would lose out on the opportunity of being Marbitz Torah. So that's what they were referring to, and not Chas V'Shalom, any personal covet. The Gemara continues with the discussion of Rav Huna's burial. So Amre Hecha Ninche. So they asked, where should we bury Rav Huna? Where's the most appropriate location to go bury the Gadol Hador? So they said, Rav Huna rebates Torah B'Yisrael, Rav Chiya rebates Torah B'Yisrael, Hava, and therefore it makes sense that they should bury Rav Huna next to Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya was from the previous generation. Rav Chiya was the uncle of Rav. Rav Huna was the Talmud of Rav. So Rav Chiya was the Gadol Hador from the previous generation. He was the star pupil of Rebbe, and therefore they said, Rav Chiya is buried in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Huna should be buried right next to Rav Chiya. So they said, that's a good place to go and put him. But everybody's afraid to go inside the burial chamber where Rav Chiya and his two sons, Yehuda and Chizkiya, were buried. because that was a holy place. It's like people don't want to go into the Moras HaMachpelah, to the actual places where the Avos HaKedoshim are buried, so they were afraid to go into Rav Chiya's actual burial crypt. So Gemara says, who's going to go bring Rav Huna inside? Man Ma'ayole. Is anybody willing to go and do that? So Rav Chaga. Rav Chaga said, I will. Anah Ma'ayole. I have no problem going and bringing in Rav Huna to Rav Chiya. Why? Because Do Kimte L'Tamudai Ki Avina Bar Tamnei Sreishden. Because I was a young Talmud Chacham, and I had learned by Rav Huna, and I learned a tremendous amount of Torah knowledge from him when I was even just a very young boy, only 18 years old, and v'lochazi lekeri, and I was also, Baruch Hashem, I was zocha not to have any discharges of keri from my body. I kept myself pure, even though I wasn't married, it was a young age. Umash v'le kameh, and I was the shamish of Rav Chiya during his lifetime, and therefore, I feel it's okay for me to go in. I don't know if I made it clear before that he was a Talmud of Rav Chiya, not of Rav Huna. And Rav Chaga said, since I was learning by Rav Chiya, so I think that Rav Chiya would allow me to go bring in Rav Huna into his burial crypt. The Yodei Bavode, and I know how great Rav Chiya was. The Yom Echad, one time it happened, I was with my Rebbe, I was in Mishamashim, is Hafichah Le Ritzua de Tefillin, the Tefillin turned over. A person should be makpid to try to have the Ritzua always the black side outwards. There are those that hold that you should blacken both sides of the Tefillin, but the commonly accepted custom is you only blacken the outer aspect, the external side, and the other side isn't blackened. So therefore, one should be careful that the external part of the Tefillin strap should always be, the black side should be outward and not turned around. In any event, one time it so happened that inadvertently his tefillin strap turned around so that the non-blackened side was facing outward. And that upset Rav Chiya so much, the Yosef Allah Arboin Tanisa, and he fasted for 40 days to make up for this inadvertent action that he had done, that having the tefillin facing the wrong way. So that's, I know, Rav Chaga said how great Rav Chiya was, so therefore it's appropriate for me to go inside. I know who I'm going into to bring Rav Chiya inside. No, so he did this. So they allowed him to. And Aile, he brought in Rav Huna, the body of Rav Huna, he brought inside to the crypt where Rav Chiya was buried with his two sons. And Hava Gane Yehuda Mimine, his older son Yehuda, was to the right of Davua, of his father. And his youngest son Chizkiah Mismale was on the left side. It's an interesting medrash that tells us, the Gemara tells us, that Yehuda and Chizkiah were twins. And they were 3 months apart, though they were born 3 months apart, a miraculous type of a birth. In any event, Yehuda and Chizkiah were his two sons. They were lying there dead in the same crypt with their father, Rav Chiya. The Chizkiah was on the left, and Yehuda was on the right. And in their death, they still were tzaddikim, or considered alive, even in their death. And we have many mices and shas where the dead people in their crypts are still capable of communicating in a way that is either allegorical or that is real. In any event, Amale Yehuda Lechizkiah, the older brother Yehuda, said to his younger brother Chizkiah, he says, get up, kum miduchteich, you should arise over here from the place where you're buried and give that spot to Rav Huna. The Lav Aruch Hara, it's not appropriate kavod, the Kohen Rav Huna, that Rav Huna should be standing there, so to say, waiting to be buried, and you're in his spot, and you should be letting him go and take over your burial place. No. Chizkiah said, 100%. So Bahade de Koim, Kom Bahade Amuda de Nura. So he gets up, Chizkiah, the dead person, Chizkiah, obviously a great, great tzaddik himself, gets up, and a flame of fire gets up with him and almost burns Rav Chaga. So Chazir Rav Chaga, Rav Chaga sees this pillar of fire, Mestama coming towards him, and Ibis, he gets very, very frightened. The Zakfel Aron, he puts up the Aron to be like a shield to protect him. He puts up Rav Huna's Aron to protect him. The Nofak, and he runs out of there, Asa, and he leaves. Bahai the Loyanish, Anish, and the reason why he wasn't harmed by the fire, Mishum the Zakfel Arona, the Rav Huna, because he'd used Rav Huna's coffin to, so to say, block the fire from attacking him. Again, we can't understand this Maisa. Fascinating Maisa. We can't really understand this Maisa. The Rabbeinu Chananel adds that since he came from the Reish Galusa's house, Rav Huna, and this protection, so to say, from the Reish Galusa was what saved Rav Chaga as well, the Zchus of Rav Huna. Again, a very, very interesting story that requires much, much more deeper understanding than I'm able to give it at this point in this type of a setting. Now, this story, it talked a little bit about Rav Chista, who was the Talmud of Rav Huna, how he had mentioned certain things about his Rebbe. Kinoch Nafshe, the Rav Chista, when Rav Chista passed away, they wanted to do the same thing that they had originally wanted to do to Rav Huna, which had been done to Chizkiah HaMelech, which was to put a Sefer Torah on the coffin. So, Sovrul Osive, Sefer Torah Apurye, they wanted to put a Sefer Torah on Rav Chista's coffin to demonstrate that this person over here was mekayim everything in the Sefer Torah. So I'm Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Yitzchak said, that's not right. Milsa de la Rabbeilo Svirulei, Ana Nekum Navidlei. He himself said, that's not what his Rebbe did, and therefore that's not what he would want. So we're going to do exactly what he doesn't want, and therefore it's inappropriate. By the way, we do have a halacha of some sort that comes from this, and that is that we do often bury Svarim or Shemos, or the Svarim of a person that he wrote with the person in his kever. That is something that is appropriate to do if the person's a Talmud Chacham. Okay. In any event, after Rav Chisda's Levaya and the burial, so everybody had ripped Kriya, so Sovor, the lo lemishlal karayu. So they thought you have to wait till after the Shiva to go and restore the garment, to sew back up the garment. So they thought that you're not allowed to go and do this. So you're allowed to do the mishlal after the non-parent relatives that you're sitting Shiva for, the other five relatives. So after the Shiva, you can do the shilul, and then after the shloshim, you can even be misachet. So they thought the same thing over here. We have to wait till the end of the Shiva to do the mishlal karayu. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Barami, he says that's not the case. The din is by a chacham that you're ripping kriya for, kivan shechziru pineya me'achori amita sholin. Once the funeral is over, they buried the person, so then you're allowed to go and sew up the garment partially right then and there. You don't have to wait till the Shiva is over. Another story, and here we're going to enter into various hespedim that were done for various gedolim. Kinoch nashe de Rabba Bar Huna v'Rav Amnuna, Nevach Rabba Bar Huna and Rav Amnuna, they were gedolei ador that lived in Bavel and were being transported to Eretz Yisrael to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So they brought them both up at the same time, and they were going through a very narrow area and returned to Chafei Omid Beis. And as a result, there was only room for one of them to get through at a time. They had to go with single file. So Kimotu Agishu, they came to a certain bridge. So Rav Amnuna and Rabba Bar Rav Huna were going traveling side by side, but now they would have to let one go in front of the other. So Kamu Gamale, the Gamalim that were carrying them, stopped, and they didn't know which one should go first. So Amalu Ha'utaya, there was one Sochar Yishmeli that was over there, and he said, because of the kavod of Rav Huna's father, we should let Rabba Bar Rav Huna go first. So he asked, why is everybody stopping? This Arab merchant, this Sochar Yishmeli, this Ha'utaya said, my high, why is everybody not going forward? So they told him, Amalu, Rabbanim the Ka of the Yikara Adade, Maramar, Maraneel Beresha, Maramar, Maraneel Beresha. The two dead great Tamidei Chachamim, so to say, each saying, no, you go first, you go first, you go first, you go first. So here, they were each one to be Mechabi the other one. So this Arab said, well, since Rabba's father was the great Rav Huna, so he should go first. Omar, Dinahu, the Rabba Bar Huna, Leo Beresha, and that's what they did, because this Arab suggested that Rav Huna was so great, so therefore the son of Rav Huna should go first, ahead of Rav Hamnuna. And that's what happened. Cholav Gamle the Rabba Bar Huna, that was the right decision, so to say, because spontaneously the camel that was carrying Rabba Bar Huna went first, and Rav Hamnuna, so to say, was happy about that, and Rabba Bar Huna recognized that what the Arab had said was correct. However, he didn't do it in the right way. So the Iyun Yaakov says that he was more halach in front of all the other Tamidei Chachamim that were there, and that's why this Arab was punished. Nosur Koche Vishine, his teeth fell out. His gums got deteriorated, and his teeth fell out, the Ha'utaya, for this Arab, because he was more halach of Nerabah. That's what the Iyun Yaakov says. In the Rashi Ksivyat, he brings down, Mimei Kvodo, either of the Avua, the Rav Hamnuna, or because of the covenant of Rav Hamnuna. So either one of two things. You're basically saying that Rabba, he's the son of a great Talmud Chacham, and Rav Hamnuna is not? So either it's a covenant, lack of covenant for Rav Hamnuna's father, or for Rav Hamnuna, you're saying that he's a nobody because his father wasn't as big a Talmud Chacham as Rav Huna. So either way, it was a lack of covenant. So either any one of these reasons was the reason why this Yishmaeli, this Ha'utaya, was punished. Now, they started to give over the eulogies when Rav Hamnuna and Rabba Bar Rav Huna reached to the burial grounds. So, Pasach Alei HaYunuka, a young child, was the one who opened up over here the eulogies. I don't know why Bedafka, a young child, did this, but in any event, this young child said, Geza Yeshishim Ola Mibovel. A cutting off of a tree is a geza. This stalk of a tree came from Yeshishim, was from great Talmidei Chachamim, Olam Mibavel. In other words, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, who came from Rav Huna, although the Rashi in the Ksiviyat said it's talking here about Rav Hamnuna, so he also came from a tremendous great Talmidei Chachamim father and from such descendants. In any event, who it's talking about, possibly one or both of them, said that this Geza Yeshishim Olam Mibavel, this great Talmud Chacham, who comes from tremendous lineage, came from Bavel, Vimo Sefer Muchamos, and he comes over here with the Sefer Muchamos. What does this refer to, this Sefer Muchamos? So the regular Rashi's tell us over here, Sefer Torah, that he, so to say, brought with him a Sefer Torah. In other words, they came over here fully loaded with Torah. Alternatively, Lishtachrina, Shilnilcham Rabba Rabamnuna, the Nasu Kochi Dautaya. The battle that just had occurred as to which one of them should go first. Each one was subordinate to the other one. Each one said, no, you go first, you go first. Ended up with the battle that the Arab, the Taya, had his teeth knocked out. So that's what it's referring to, the Sefer Mochabos. Alternatively, the third explanation in the Rashis is Lishtachrina, Geze Shishim Zer Rabba Barafuna, the Hu Ben Gidolin Ben Rafuna, the Rosh Gola. That it's referring over here to Rabba Baruch Huna, not like the Rashi Ksiv Yad said, it's referring to Rabba Hamnuna, and that he is referred to as the Geza Yeshisha because he comes from the head of the Gola. The Reish Galusa was Rav Huna, but Adif Minasi Neretz Yisrael, and he was greater than the Nasi Neretz Yisrael, and therefore the Imo Sefer Mochamos, Imo Rav Hamnuna, and the Sefer Mochamos that he comes with, that's a reference to Rav Hamnuna. So that's what this Yanuka was saying over here, that Imo Sefer Mochamos. In any event, he also said, Koas v'kipot huchpelu, that these are two types of birds that make a lot of noise. The kipot and the huchpelu are birds, and they're making a lot of noise over here. In other words, a lot of people are going to be masped these great talmidei chachamim liros b'shod v'shever habo mishinar, to see Nebuch, the tremendous disaster that occurred in Shinar and Bavel, that these people, these great talmidei chachamim, Rabbi Rav Huna and Rabbi Amnuna, have Nebuch passed away. And this is an allusion over here to the great destruction that's referred to as shod v'shever. And Kotzav al olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seemingly is mad at the world, and that's why he took away these great Talmidei Chachamim as a punishment to the world. V'chamas v'menu nefashos, he took away these nefashos as a punishment to the world. It's interesting, the words shod v'shever, that whole pasuk is lo yishama od chamas b'yartzech shod v'shever v'gulayach. So this lashon of v'chamas v'menu nefashos is also a play on the pasuk of shod v'shever. V'sameach b'em kechal chadosh, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like happy with them, like a person is happy with his brand new kala. Rochev Arovos, the one who rides in Shemayim, Sosu Sameach, he's happy that he's returned his children to himself. Rabba Barav Huna and Rav Amnuna are now returning back in Shemayim. Bevoei love nefesh noki v'tzadikin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so happy that these great tzadikim came back perfectly clean and pristine, just like they left. The neshamas were clean. They returned with beautiful, clean neshamas. Similarly, Kinoch Nafshei the Ravina, when Ravina passed away, they said about him the following eulogy. Pasach Alei, how Safdana, there was a certain maspid, a person who was saying a hesped for Ravina, and he said as follows, Temarim Hanu Rosh, the palm trees you should go and shake your top. We say, Tzadik Katamor Yifroch. So, the tzaddik is referred to as a palm tree. Why is that? Because a palm tree only has one leg. As Rashi says, that it was Rashi Niksiv Yad says Shelo Hoya Lo Lev Echod LaAvishav Shemayim Kitam Zeh Shelu Lovim, that he had only a single heart towards Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why they refer to as a Tamar. Tamarim Haniu Rosh Al Tzadik Katamar, about such a righteous person who is like a Tamar, that he is a palm tree that has only one lathe. Nosim Lelos Kiyomim Amesim Lelos Kiyomim. We should go and mourn at night, just like they learned at night. So they turned the night times into like days in terms of learning. So we should mourn at night, just like they spent all their nights learning Torah. So we should mourn them at night, just like we would mourn them during the daytime. So that's the eulogy they said over for Ravina. Amli Ravashi lebar kipok. Ravashi said to Bar Kipok. Bar Kipok was a well-known maspid. He was a person who would give hespedim. And Ravashi asked him, "No, what are you going to say about me? How yoma, on the day of my death, my amis?" That's a simple understanding over here. Others understand this, that no, he's referring to, what are you going to say about Ravina? Ravina just died. That's the connection over here. And he says, what are you going to say in your hesped about Ravina? So either he's asking for himself, what are you going to do in my hesped, or what is Ravina's hesped? So I'm like, so this Bar Kipok said to Ravashi, what sounds like a nice hesped, but it really wasn't so nice. So he said, Amina, I'm going to say, either about you or about Rav Amnuna, Im barazim nofilu shal heves, mayasu is over here. If a fire can even destroy a cedar tree, arazim, so then what is a regular tree? A zovekir, the little dinky trees, so the hyssop, the zovekir, so what are they going to possibly be able to do and withstand the fire? If the fire can even go and knock down a tall, sturdy erez, so it's certainly going to go and take the azo and burn it down. Likewise, Leviathan b'chaka ho'ala, if the Leviathan is able to be captured with a fish hook, so then, mayasu degei rakak, so what are the little fish that are in the small little ponds? So rakak is a small little pond, so what are they going to be able to do? In other words, if even the great Leviathan can be captured, even the great Leviathan dies, so then the little fish, the regular people, we stand no chance at all. The benacha shotef noflo chaka, we have two understandings over here of chaka. Some say it means the same thing as before, it means a fish hook. And that in a rushing river, if fish can be trapped, so Mayasu may gave him. So certainly in a pond of water that is not moving a lot, so it's much easier to throw out a net. Either chako is a fish hook or it's a net, and you'll be able to easily capture the fish. If you can capture them in a running water, you certainly can capture them in a pond of water that's not moving. Alternatively, the Ksiv Yad Rashi brings down that chaka over here is a lashon of drawing up, tzimon v'shrav. So if a rushing water can be stilled, so then certainly a regular pond can dry up. In any event, that's what this Bar Kippok said either about Rav Ashi, he would say this in the future about Rav Ashi, or he was saying this is my levaya over here, my hesped, for Ravina. Now, his colleague, his fellow masbid, Bar Kippok was one of the Maspidim of that generation, and there was another Maspid, a Bal Maspid, Bar Oven, didn't like this. Amalei Bar Oven says, that's not a good analogy. That's not a nice thing to say as a Hespid. Chas v'shalom, the Chak of Shalhevis, but Tzadik Yamina. You're talking about that the Tzadik burns down. You're talking about the Levyosin who's caught in a fish trap. That's not a nice thing to say about a Tzadik. And therefore, you were wrong for saying this type of a eulogy. So Bar Kippok says, no, what would you say to my Amis? And what would you say if you were the one that would be delivering the eulogy? So Amina, so Bar Oven said, I would have said, B'chul Avelim below Laveda. You should cry for yourselves and not about the people that have never been taken away. Because they're going up to Gan Eden. Shila Menucha, they're going to Gan Eden. Vanu Le'anocha. And we, who are left behind in this world, we are left to mourn the great, tremendous loss of these Tamidei Chachamim. So therefore, that's the proper eulogy for these Tamidei Chacham, either Ravina or Ravashi. In any event, Cholash Daite Alayu. Ravashi either was unhappy that this is the eulogy they were going to give for Ravina, or he was unhappy that this was the eulogy that they were going to say about himself. So, Vishafu Karayu. Because he was unhappy, HaKadosh made it that these people wouldn't be able to go to deliver eulogies. He turned their feet around. He had what we would call the dorsum of the foot become the plantar aspect. The plantar aspect become the dorsum. For those that don't understand what I just said, he turned it around that the bottom of the foot became the top of the foot, and the top of the foot became the bottom of the foot. And therefore, they couldn't walk. And therefore, how yoma lo asu lasbude. That day, either for Ravina's hesped, they couldn't go because they couldn't walk. Or when the day came for Ravashi that he passed away, they weren't able to go because they couldn't walk. They were invalids because they had done something wrong. And in Shemayim, they caused their feet to become turned upside down and no longer able to walk, so they couldn't go and deliver these eulogies. And that's what behind the Dabar Ravashi said about this when he saw what happened to them. Lo bar kippok chalitz, lo bar oven chalitz. Neither of them could do chalitz. Chalitz has to be done on a foot in the normal way. And since their feet were upside down now, they couldn't theoretically do chalitz. Rava kihava also ledigles. When Rava came to the Diglas River to go and cross it, Amar leila bar oven, Kum Ema Milsa. They had to get across the river. So he said to Bar Oven, this was before the story that we just had, he said to Bar Oven, his foot yet wasn't twisted, so he said to him, "Nu, say a vart, that we should be able to get across the water, say a tefillah, that we should be able to get across the river safely." So he got up, Koi, Ba'omar, and he said, Ba Rov Shlishis Bamayim, that the majority over here of the Shlishis is a reference to either Klai Yisrael, or it's a reference over here to Rava, who was like the Shlishis, which is a reference to the great leaders of Klai Yisrael. Rashi the Ksiv Yad says that Rav Shli Yisrael is Ruba Shlishis, a reference to majority of Klai Yisrael. Like it says, the Ksiv, Ye Yisrael Shlishiyah Limitzrayim Uli Asher. And he says, Rava Choshev Lo, Kirubam Shli Yisrael. And Rava is like the majority of Klai Yisrael. In any event, so Bar Ravin said, open up over here the waters. You should let us go safely across because Rav is here. Zachar v'rachem, remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, and have mercy on us. This is the tefillah part. Ta'inu me'acharecha, we have sinned against you. Ki'isha mibal, like a woman nebuch sometimes goes away from her husband. Please don't treat us in that way. Don't let these waters be like mei sota for us. Al tazdichenu ka'os me'mara. Don't let these waters be like the bitter waters that will test us. Just like you test the sota to see if she sinned, Rachmanu Litzan, if she did, she's going to be in a lot of trouble. Don't let these waters test us over here, because Rachmanu Litzan, we haven't done everything that we should have done to you. That was a tefillah that this Bar Oven said. Now we have a simon. Chanin, Yochanan, Zera, Abba, Yaakov, Yossi, Shmuel, Chia, Menachem, Simon. And this is just some of the names of many of the, quote, players that we're going to be talking about over here. There are many others as well. Why the Simon only doesn't include these and doesn't include them, I'm not sure. In any event, this Simon is an intro to the upcoming series of comments that we're going to make about various Hespedim were done for various Gedolim. So Rabbi Chanin, this is the first one that we're going to talk about. That's the part of the Simon Chanin. So Rabbi Chanin was the Chasne, was the son-in-law of the Veinasiya from the house of the Nasi. The daughter of the Nasi had married him. So he was the son-in-law of the Nasi. So Devenasiya Haba. And Lo Ka Havule Bine. He didn't have any children. So he Davin, boy Rachme, Vahule Baruch Hashem. His wife became pregnant. However, on the day that the child was born, Hau Yoma, the day of the Mazel Tov, Baruch Hashem, they had a first child, Havule Noch Navshe. As soon as he had that child, Nebuch, Rabbi Chanan passed away. So they said about him in his hesped, Pasach Alei HaSavdana, one of the eulogizers said that the hesped said, Simcha Lituga Nefcha. There was great simcha here with the birth of the child, but Nebuch, it turned to Tuga, it turned to Avelus, it turned to very big sadness on that same day that the child was born. Nebuch, the father, passed away. Sason V'yogum Nibaku, this great simcha, this Sason, unfortunately, was mixed, it was attached, Dovku, it was glued together with Yogum, with this terrible mourning. Beis Simchoso, at the great time of his joy, Baruch Hashem, his tefillah was answered, and he had a child, Nenach, Nebuch, he sighed and he died, and everybody else is in mourning. Beis Chaninoso, Ova Chanino, at the time that his child was born, a play on the word Chanin, so at the time that his child was born, at that point, Nebuch, Ova Chanino, he himself died. Again, this is a play on the word Chanin, and looking for Chain, he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have this Chain, to have this child, the Nebuch, on that day he died, and they named the child after him, Asiku Lei Chanon Al Shemei. They named the baby boy Chanon after Nebuch, his father, who passed away that day that he was born. Kinoch Nafshei de Rav Yochanan, the next one in the mnemonic is Rav Yochanan. So when he died, they said about him the following hesped. Pasach alei Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar. Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar said about him, and he said, "This is a terrible day for Klai Yisrael. Kosh Hayom Yisrael Ki Yom Bo Hashem Yishbitzorayim. This is the equivalent of a terrible day when the sun came up in the middle of the day, which is a reference to the day that Yoshio HaMelech was killed by Paro Nicho. Yoshio didn't want to let Paro Nicho come through the land. He thought everybody had done tshuva, that all the Avodah Zarahs were taken away, but unfortunately there were still people worshiping Avodah Zarah, and he thought that the nevuah, that nobody would ever enter Eretz Yisrael. That the Jewish people were good, even applied to their allies, and he didn't let Paro Nicho come in, and Paro Nicho attacked, and Paro Nicho Nebuch killed Yoshio HaMelech. So that was a tragic day for Klai Yisrael, and that's the day that's considered Kiyom Bo Hashemesh Batzaraim, as the Pasuk says, the Pasuk tells us, Vaya Bayomahu, and the Pasuk continues, Nur Mahashem Lokim, Vedesi Hashemesh Batzaraim, that's the part over here that we then quote in the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the sun out, and I made the earth dark on that day by the killing of Yoshio HaMelech, the great Yoshio HaMelech. The Amr of Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, Zeh Yom Shel Yoshio. Rav Yochanan himself was the one that darshened this pasuk and said, that is the day that Yoshio passed away. So Nebuch, the day that Rav Yochanan passed away, they took this drush that he had done, said what a sad day it was, and they said, this is a sad day for Klai Yisrael. Equivalent to the day that Yoshio died was the day that Rav Yochanan passed away. Similarly, Kinoch Nafshei de Rav Yochanan, on the day that Rav Yochanan passed away, Yosef Rav Ami Shivu Shloshim, Rav Ami himself took upon himself, he was a star pupil, Rav Ami Rav Asi, I mentioned before, with the star pupils of Rav Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael, they'd moved from Babel to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rav Yochanan, and Rav Ami personally took upon himself to sit Shiva and have Shloshim for his Rebbe Rav Yochanan, Yosef Rav Ami Shivu Shloshim. However, Rabbi Abba said this is his own personal doing and not the halacha. Amar Rabbi Abba, Bereid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Abba, who was the son of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, he was named after his Zayda. So Rabbi Ami de Ovad le Garmehu de Ovad. He himself took upon himself this sitting Shiva and Shloshim, that's not the din, because the Hachi Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, so said Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan himself. So the Talmud over here was doing something that even his Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan didn't demand. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Afilu Rabbo Shlim the Chachma in Yoshev Alav El Yom Echad." Even for your Rebbe Muvok, the Rebbe that taught you most of your wisdom, most of your Chachma, so you don't sit a full Shiva, you don't sit a full Shloshim, you just have to sit one day, and that's adequate. But Rav Ami took it to a higher level, and he sat Shiva and Shloshim for his Rebbe. As I mentioned before, you're technically allowed to do this. You can sit Shiva, a child that's adopted, will often sit Shiva for the adopted parents. Technically, there's no chiv to do so. But I'll cover they do so. The one thing that they can't do is they can't say, "Well, I'm not going to learn Torah." So if they wish, they can learn only the things that you're allowed to learn in the base level, but they shouldn't diminish the amount of Torah learning because they, quote, took upon themselves the surveillance. And next eulogy, Kinoch Nafshei de Rav Zeira, Pasach Lehau Savdona, at the funeral of Rav Zeira, the Levi Rav Zeira, the Masbid said the following, Eretz Shinno HaRav Yolda, that Rav Zeira was born in Bavel, Eretz Shinno is Bavel, that's where he was conceived, that's where he was born. However, Eretz Svi, Eretz Yisrael, Gidlo Shashua had the schus to go and raise Rav Zeira. That's where he lived. That's where he learned his Torah. And it says, Oy lo La Amra Rakas. So woe is to us, Rakas said. Remember, we had the Gemara in Megillah, which city was Rakas? So one of the answers that we gave there was that Rakas is reference to Tveria. And so it's as if Tveria is saying, Rakas is saying, Ki avda klichem dosa. We have lost our great Rav Zeira, and he no longer is with us, so he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and now he's Nebuch dead. So that's what the Maspid, that's what the person who gave the eulogy said about Rav Zeira. Now, Kinoch Nafshei Rabbi Avohu, when Rabbi Avohu passed away, Achisu Amude de Kesri Maya. It was such a tremendous loss to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed around certain natural phenomena, and that the pillars, Amude de Kesari, the pillars in Kesaria, they themselves, so to say, dripped water. The moisture came out of them as if they were crying as well. When Rav Yossi passed away, the Rav Yossi, Shafu Marzovi Tzipari Doma, the Marzivi, those are like the gutters where the rainwater normally comes down, so blood came out of them. Some suggest that the rainwater just became discolored, like a reddish color, and Tosus brings down, that's because he was willing to give up his life. Rav Yossi was willing to go and be Moshe Nefesh for the very Xeris that were against Klal Yisrael, and therefore, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shemayim rained down blood. Others say that he was a very, very makbid on making sure they did Bris Mila, even though the local persecutors didn't let them do Bris Mila. So, when he died, it's as if the gutters themselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had sent down rain that was shedding blood. When Rav Yaakov passed away, the Rav Yaakov, another natural phenomenon occurred, Ischamiyu Kochavi Biyimoma, able to see the stars during the daytime. Normally, the sun blocks out the stars, but this is an analogy that Rav Yaakov passed away, so the great sun had left. So now you can see the stars, that they lost the sun, so to say, so the stars came out. When Rav Asi passed away, the Rav Asi, Yaku Kol Ilonaya, the trees themselves were uprooted. That's how great a loss it was to the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishtana de Teva. That's the simple understanding of all of these. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made changes in the nature of the world because there were these tremendous losses in Kaiso. When Rav Chiya passed away, the Rav Chiya, Nechisu Kefei Denura Mirakiya, they had these certain fiery stones that came down from Shemayim. Again, a tremendous change in the nature of the world. When Rabbi Nachman, now the Gersa that we have is Rabbi Yossi, but it really should say this Masor Shasha should be Rabbi Simoi. When he passed away, Ishtau Tzalmanaya Bahabu Lamechotzaya, that all of the different idols that were there and the images that were on coins, so they all became flattened out. Because he was so makbid never to look at these idols, obviously not to worship them, but not even to look at them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it to show everybody the great loss in the world of such a tzaddik. So all the idols, even the coinage, the figures of the people and the coins, all became flat. Similarly, the Rabbi Tamchum Mechia, when he passed away, Iskatsu Kol Andrarta, all the various busts of the kings, which they used to use as a Avodah Zarah sometimes. So all of those also were knocked down because he was so makbid not to look at them and not to in any way give them any covet. So therefore, they all were knocked down at his death to show what the world had lost. When Rabbi Yashiv passed away, Ichatru Shivin Machturosa Benardoi. Rabbi Yashiv was such a great tzaddik that all the robbers prevented from robbing. So when he passed away, all of a sudden that protection was removed. It's like the alarm system was taken away, and all of a sudden there were 70 tunnels that the various robbers were able to go into people's houses through these tunnels. That's the Pasuk in Mishpatim from last week's Parsha, where it discussed that if a Ganav comes in through these tunnels, so this was a common way that the Ganav would come in. When Rav Amunah passed away, the Rav Amunah, Nechisu Kefei de Barda Mirikia. So various types of hail came down from Shemayim. Again, Nishtana HaTeva, to show the great loss of the world. When Rabbi and Rav Yossi passed away, Noshu Kipei de Pras HaDodi. So the bridges fell down. The arches that supported the bridges, the Kipei de Pras, they fell down one on the other. In other words, such a great loss to the world, the Rabbi and Rav Yossi. So the natural phenomena destroyed the physical structures. Similarly, the Abaye v'Rava, Noshu Kipei de Diglas HaDodi. When they passed away, the arches that were holding up the bridges of the Diglas, the Tigris, they broke. Kinoch Nafshei de Rabbi Sharshe, when Rabbi Sharshe passed away, similarly, Ton Dikle Shitze, the palm trees stopped producing the dates. The fruits were dried up because, again, this tremendous loss to the world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishtana de Teva. These tremendous tzaddikim should all be zechusras, just like my aunt, Shishav and Aliyah from our learning, Bluma Sheva Bas Yecheskel. I thank everybody for listening to this year today. With this, we conclude today's year.